is the worthy one. He is the worthy one. Lord, you are the worthy one. Why don't we kind of homogenize a little bit if we could and come in here, move up a little closer if you can, unless you have a special situation. We had a lot of extra bulletins left over. If anybody didn't get one of these, Sister Peggy put so much time in these. And don't we appreciate her helping us with our bulletin? Did anybody not get one perhaps Sunday? I found such a wonderful bunch here. I didn't want to have them wasted. So if you didn't get one, raise your hand. Praise God. Okay, over here. Chastity, man, we missed you. Praise God. We missed a whole bunch of folks, really, on Sunday. It was just a very, very complicated Sunday. Praise God. And that's the key word tonight, as a matter of fact, in my title. Oh, I'm thankful for so many things, and I'm thankful for you and for what God's doing. He is at work. And we had three brand new visitors. One was standing right here praying through. I'm dealing with some friends in Florida and trying to help them. I mean, dealing is probably not the right word. I'm trying to assist them in getting into an awesome one God, apostolic Jesus name, tongue talking, denture dropping, chandelier shaking, carpet cleaning church. There are a lot of hungry people that want to get a fresh experience in God. So, from 2 Peter 1:21, as we stand in honor to the word of the King, praise the name of the Lord forever. 2 Peter 1:21, I'm sure that you will recognize this. You might notice that I almost never call scripture familiar. I've heard that used, that expression used. Well, we're turning to a familiar scripture. I don't like to say that for several reasons, and one of them is the very verse that you think you're familiar with, you don't even know much about. There are nuggets in there. George Glass Sr. said this years ago, there are nuggets in any verse you have never polished. And I heard him say he refused to call scripture familiar. I took that as my conviction as well. There's a lot in the word, and I think you're going to see something here, and then we're going to expand it. Then I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to share some scripture with you that will blow your mind. You think you know your Bible? Let's see. It's all on me. I won't test you. It's all on me. Okay. No, it's a freebie. No charge for this. 2 Peter 1:21. This is a beautiful verse. For the prophecy, and many scholars believe that when that term, the prophecy, that many scholars believe it's a reference to the written word of God, not just to a spoken utterance. It could refer to that, but because the word the is in front of it, it's like the prophecy. We know that all scripture is what? Given by inspiration. Greek word there for the word inspiration. All scripture is God-breathed. In his word is his breath. His breath is in his word. Okay. So, for the prophecy, or we could say the word of God, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I like that. Especially that last part. How did we get this Bible? Somebody let the Holy Ghost move on them. Listen to it from the Amplified, if we may. For no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it to do so, it never came by human impulse. But men spoke from God who were borne along, moved, and impelled by the Holy Spirit. Is that an impactive rendering or what? They were borne along. It almost sounds... Brother Johnny Dye has purchased a boat, and That might sound like just some fun thing to do, but it's a way that he releases a lot of stress. I see that it ministers to him. And, you know, you get in a sailboat and you're borne along. I used to watch the sailboats on the Potomac when I lived in Northern Virginia, and the wind, and Brother Dinkins, the sails would be out and the wind would bear them along and would just move them along. And the sailor or the boater would never be worn out necessarily, because it wasn't by his might or strength that the boat was propelled. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So my question to you is, when is the last time he moved on you to write, to speak, to witness, to step into a wound in somebody's life? If he moved upon these people that gave us the scriptures, he wants to also move upon us. Just don't make it so complicated, because it's not. From Romans chapter 8, two verses. And then we're going to pray. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Somebody shout, no condemnation. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You can, I can, we can literally walk after the Spirit. Or we could say, leaning into the Spirit's influence. That's not a bad rendition. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. I'm not crazy. I just have all these conversations with myself. Somebody said, you're not crazy until you answer yourself. Well, I just did that. So the mad scientist is at work here. Praise God. So I want to walk. I don't want to walk after the flesh. So you can determine how you walk. Do you want to walk and live after the flesh? Or do you want to walk and live after the Spirit? I choose by the grace of God. Help of God now. I know I've got things that I must do, and then there's things that he will do. But we can literally walk. Somebody said it this way. We can live poised, like our soul or heart is poised toward God. So because of verse 1, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When was the last time? This is probably an easy question with an easy answer. When was the last time God led you to say something, do something, be somewhere? Don't make it complicated, because it's not. Okay, there it is. That's my subject. Don't make it complicated. I'm going to talk to you about what we're going to have to understand in these days if we're even going to survive, let alone be used of God. Just a few hours ago, Jasmine, in a market in Israel, in Tel Aviv, where I've been, there was a terrorist action that left at least 4 people dead, several people wounded. This is what I'm starting to believe. If we're going to be used of God in this hour, we're going to have to know where we're supposed to be and where we can't be by the leading of the Holy Ghost on any given day. Lift your hand up. Let's ask God to help us understand his word and understand his ways. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's cry out to the Lord. Let's just cry out to him for a few moments here. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your name. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the activity of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Help us to understand, Lord, that you want to lead every one of us, that you want to sensitize us, that you want us to walk in the Spirit, to lean into the Holy Ghost, to lean into the presence of God, so you can literally, Lord, lead us to minister and bless others. In the name of Jesus, would you clap to the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated. We did not receive the Holy Ghost just so we can have a fire escape. He didn't give us the Holy Ghost just so we don't have to go to hell. Okay? That's a wondrous thing. He gave us the Holy Ghost so we could learn how to be part of the answer. Sometimes the word that God drops on you or issues through you becomes an answer to somebody. Let me tell you what happened today. I'm out on my prayer roads. I'm trying to live in such a way where my heart is poised toward God. And I want to, it's so easy to miss the leading of the Spirit. See, the leading of God in your life is proof of your sonship. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. Your ability, my ability to be led is proof of my sonship. And if I'm not being led, check out on your sonship business. Are we leading and living a born again life? So I'm out on my prayer roads praying. And you know the one lady that was testifying, and she said, oh, she said, I feel saveder and saveder all the time. I think that God wants to kind of like save us every day. You know what I mean? Save us. Give us a salvation refreshing every day. So I'm out on my prayer roads, and I have this. And see, it happens so lightly that you can miss it. You got kids pulling on you. Uh-huh. And you moms do, yeah, I'm teasing them, but I'm so proud of you moms. You moms do amazing. If us guys tried to do what you all do, we'd be in a nut house somewhere, you know, counting nuts, okay, counting, you know, sewing with no knot in our thread, all right, you know, trying to do what you ladies do, and then you have room for more. Wow, somebody clap your hands and celebrate the ladies. Hallelujah, praise God. Bless the moms. And I sense this light impression, and you see, that's often how it is to call somebody. Well, I didn't go out there on my prayer roads to call people. I went out there to talk to Jesus. But it's hanging there in my spirit. And it was a pastor who I know has been going through the mill. As a matter of fact, he's had the living daylights beat out of him. Most of you don't even know about it. But I felt, many times the Lord, see, we so often assign what the Spirit's trying to do to ourselves. Well, that was just me. So when I called him, I got him on the phone, which was unusual because usually when I call this particular, it was a wonderful man of God, wonderful pastor, but frankly has taken a thumping lately, and it wasn't his fault. But when I don't normally get him when I call him first time, and I got him on the phone. And I said, matter of fact, I was praying for him when he answered the phone. I was still praying. He answered. I said, I've just been praying for you. It really. And so in a short conversation, I said, I just wanted to ask you how you're doing and check on you. And then I felt as I opened that up and got that far. You know, it's kind of like when you speak in tongues and you give the interpretation or you give a prophecy. God doesn't give you a paragraph and have you read a paragraph off the ceiling to the people. You know, here's a paragraph. He'll give you the first four or five words. First three words. And when you speak them, guess what? There's a word, there's another phrase behind that one. How many of you moving in prophecy, you understand, you know what I'm saying is true. Praise God. So I felt impressed at that time to say, brother, and I called him, and I said, I remember a time when I was driving from, I was pastoring in Wisconsin, and I lived about 8 minutes from the church. I said, you know, I mean, wow, you know. 2 miles from the church, and now it's about 20, and just seems like it was just nothing to, you know, cross town. And so I'm driving back to the church, and it's time to preach again, you know, and you'd be surprised how fast these sermons and things come at you, like, it's time to preach again, time to preach again, time to teach again, time to preach again, time to preach. Man, you know, and you're trying to keep up all the phone calls and counseling everybody, running around trying to encourage everybody and keep everything to a low emergency level, you know, not a high, but a low emergency level. And so I'm in the car, and I'm driving, and I'm, you know, this is not, what you do is not easy. What we do isn't easy, and it can be very, very stressful after several years of preaching to the same people and wanting to be fresh. So as I'm kind of driving and trying to figure out, you know, what the Lord's doing, and I'm a little bit stressed out, I felt like the Lord moved in the car. Somebody say, he moved in the car. I don't even know if I invited him to. But you know what? He owned the car, so he can move, you know. And he began to talk to me. Now, this was so real that it's come back to me over the years, and it's probably been 15, 20 years ago. And this is what he seemed. Notice how I'm saying this. I'm not telling you, God said in red letters on my windshield, you know. God spoke to me. I'm not trying to be spooky here. This is what the message was. Son, just relax. Just come to church and love me and worship me and just enjoy my presence and just lean into me and praise me. And I promise you, if you'll do that, and just relax and enjoy being in my presence. When it's time for you to minister, you will have a word to minister. So that really, really spoke to me. And actually, I obeyed that day in that car. I just, okay, Lord, hallelujah. You know, thank you, Lord. So glad you spoke this to me. Lord, I worship you. Driving along, and what he said happened to me, just like he said it would. Man, I went to church. I enjoyed church. I got it, man. The Holy Ghost was on me. Okay, so as I'm telling this man of God this story, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost moved on me. And as I said, oh, man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And then he started telling me, I feel the Holy Ghost over on this end of this thing. And we just had a little kind of a something break out there. And he said, you know, I am so encouraged, man. Oh, wow. He got so fired up. And I said, well, I just wanted to call you. And, you know, well, you know, we hung up the phone. He was all juiced and going and blowing. And I hung up the phone. God didn't go, child, can you hear me? Call Pastor so-and-so, who pastors in such and such a town. You know, pick up my iPad, it's in gold letters, and oil dripping from the ceiling of my Ford Edge. It was this. See, don't complicate it. The Holy Ghost is trying to use some of you, and you're making it so complicated. It is not complicated. And if you will just lean into him, here's what I believe. There were people that are dead because they were at that marketplace. We're living in one of the most dangerous ages of history, and you and I are going to have to understand that the Spirit of God is going to tell us, don't go to that restaurant today, go to the other one. Don't get in your car and drive down to that part of town today. Just don't do that. Move over this way and do your business over on this street. I really believe this. We don't think he can use us because we're so imperfect. Well, I wonder how imperfect a donkey is. Can a donkey do math? Can a donkey give a lesson on biology? Can a donkey teach a class? Can a donkey, you know, somebody said donkey. It's the most difficult key to turn. Donkeys are very stubborn. And yet God spoke through a donkey. He spoke through a donkey. So if he could talk through a donkey, if he could turn that key and speak through a donkey, do you suppose that what you see, we make it so complicated. It's so gentle, you almost miss it. But if you've been praying, I'm going to go over a few things. Now, I want to read you some scriptures that I think should blow your mind. But you have to listen and see if you're thinking like I'm thinking, you might not be. But listen to this from 1 Samuel 19, verse 19. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. Verse 20. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And I got in parentheses and bright pink letters. This is commentary to me. Don't let bad people use you. Don't let bad people use you. Saul sent messengers to take David. Was he supposed to be doing that? No. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Okay. I don't know. Something about reading this today. These guys are on an assassin's errand. An ungodly king. Jealous. King Saul. Carnal as the day. When you look up the word carnality, there's a picture of Saul in the dictionary. They're doing his bidding, and it's not the bidding of God. But when they got close to somebody, the prophets, who had an anointing on them, the Spirit, moved on them as well, and they started prophesying. Okay, now, God couldn't. You know, if God could move on a pack of folks that's trying to murder somebody, do you suppose he might be able to move on you? Do you think if God could work on somebody who's fixing to assassinate a gentleman that would become the greatest king of Israel's history, and they're getting ready to kill him because they're doing the bidding of a backslidden king named King Saul, and the Spirit of God moved on them. I mean, they were in such a bad way. Their motives were wrong. Their hearts were wrong. They were on a faulty, carnal, worldly, unclean mission, and still the Spirit of God fell on them and moved on them, and they prophesied. Do you think God might be able to use you? Praise God. Can you see it? So watch this. Worldly people don't give up easily. Verse 21. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. It's like, oh, you know, that must have been a fluke. Just like the first time when God uses you, you think that was a fluke, because, you know, God can't use people like me. I mean, you know, I got all these things I wrestle with. But have you ever been on a mission to literally kill somebody and the Holy Ghost move on you? And if the Spirit of God could do that with a bunch of assassins, do you suppose the Spirit of God could move on you? Because I don't think you've ever wanted to murder anybody, unless maybe it was when your mother-in-law dropped it. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm so sorry. That was not in my notes. Okay, so King Saul, he's thinking, wow, what a fluke. Let's try this again. Well, you know, when you hear that they prophesied, it doesn't say, well, they got done prophesying, then they went ahead and killed David. Because when the Spirit of God moved on, they got to prophesying, it wiped them out. They weren't able to fulfill Now, this is the Old Testament. The Spirit of God moves on these bunch of rascals in his mercy. And he moves on them so powerfully, though they had the wrong motive. They were sent by a fool on a fool's errand. And God, Aaron, isn't that? Okay. And I was just thinking of, and no, the way the names and words are spelled. So when you read this, Saul goes, oh, you know what? Something went crazy there. Okay, let's try this again. So he sends another pack of assassins. And it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And the Holy Ghost fell on them, wiped them out. And Saul sent messengers again. This dude doesn't give up easily. Why do you? He's carnal, you're spiritual. He's lost, you're saved. Why is he not giving up easy, but you are? Why would God use a pack of idiots? Why would the Spirit of God, I'm sorry, I'm being too blunt here. Let's say this in a prettier way. Why would God use these misfits, fall on them in his presence, and be so powerful on them that they prophesied and they couldn't seem to get out of this and go do the worldly, ungodly thing they were sent to do? And finally Saul keeps sending, and finally this is what he thinks. He thinks, I'll go down there and I'll take care of this thing. These guys, a bunch of wusses, bunch of soft-wristed soprano singers, you know. Okay, that's no carnal soul, right? So, and Saul sent messengers the third time, and they prophesied also, verse 22. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Sekhu. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naioth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied. Where do you get this? Oh, man, I've got it. That you have to be the holiest thing since sliced bread for God to use you. You wrestle with things. Join the club. I'm the CEO of that stuff. But God's using me and God's using you more than you're even cognizant of. And some of the stuff that you have assigned to your flesh or to othernesses, you know, other choices, is simply God wanting to use you in an uncomplicated way. The Spirit of God moved upon these would-be assassins and overrode their craziness. It reminds me of a verse of Scripture, Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, Romans 8:13, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, capital S, if ye through the Spirit or the Holy Ghost, okay, Spirit of God, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Look at the word mortify. It's where we get the word mortician. What does it mean? It means this. When you're wrestling with something, lean into the Holy Ghost. And the mortician will show up and put to death desires and temptations because you've chosen. Good. Sister Jasmine, stand up. Lift up your hands. We're going to ask God to touch you right now. Listen, Sister Jasmine, you are amazing. Shakaraba, a key person. You are a key person. We're just going to minister a little bit, maybe several times tonight, if the Lord will help us. Bless this awesome lady of God. Lord Jesus, she carries so much. Thank you for her vision and passion. Oh, for the nursery ministry. Lord Jesus, and the beautiful, amen, ministry she's got in her family, Lord. Not just to Aaron, Lord, God, and her two little ones, but also to other family members. Put a prophetic word in Jasmine's mouth, Lord, for Linda. Put a prophetic word, Lord Jesus, in Aaron's mouth, God, for that family, Lord. God, use them, I pray, and continue to use them. And that's not just them. The Lord is active here. Hallelujah. The Lord is active. Refresh us tonight. Refresh us tonight. Let's claim it right now. Kataisia. The Lord is using us. Hallelujah. We're refreshed in the Lord. Oh, praise God. Anybody else need that touch from God right now? Just take all of it right now. God's been trying to use some of us, and we've been ascribing it to our flesh or to carnal feelings because it's so gentle. Love on him a little bit more. This is okay. I intended to do a little of this tonight if the Lord would lead us. Praise God, to just stop and maybe encourage somebody and bless somebody. What you need to be doing at work maybe. But that neighbor that you've been troubled about and God gave you some compassion for them and it didn't originate in you. Don't make it complicated. It's so gentle. You couldn't miss it. I know more. I tell you, in that phone call, I did not know what was going on, but I sensed God. And when I made the call, because I felt like I needed to see, and then I greeted, and then I all of a sudden this, you know, something was quickened to me to share. When I did that, then the presence of God was palpably honest on him and on myself. And I realized, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you have read Mike Murdoch. Amazing guy. One of the most, how do we even describe his books? He called my house one day, years ago, and left, Brother Aaron, he left a prophecy on my answering machine that I still think about. And you could tell it was not something he read off of a 3x5 card or off of a computer screen. He felt impressed to leave us a prophetical word, and it was right on. It was right on. I'd never even met him. I was just buying some of his books, you know. But this man called my house. Is that okay if somebody prophesies to you? You know, if it's outside or inside, you know, organizational lines, if it's outside, it doesn't count. If it's inside, well, what did God do for 1945? What did God do for the UPC was formed? What did he do for 1900? He used people without your permission, without my permission. He can use anybody he wants to. And I honor that. And I honor the Holy Ghost. And I honor the Holy Ghost in you. And he's got a prophetic anointing that he wants to place on this church and on you and me, and it's not complicated. Woo! Come on, let's worship him right now and praise him. Wow, Jesus, I love you. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Let him use you. Go ahead and step out there and let him use you, and don't complicate it. It will only seem like a gentle impression, but you know, God really is a gentleman. Remember that famous painting that features Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, he could have kicked in the door, you know, like a bunch of SWAT team members, you know, famously do. He didn't kick in the door. And here's something else. When you look at the painting, you'll notice that there's, you know, like there's the way that the door is painted. There's no handle. The handle's on the inside. No doorknob. It's on the inside. You tap. Hallelujah. We open the door. It's so simple. Now listen to this. See if you recognize these verses. I want to help somebody's faith today, because I'm discerning more and more times when God impresses me to do something. And too many times I've done maybe what you do. I override it. But I'm trying to listen better. Listen, listen, listen. And be sensitive to him. Because there's a whole lot of wounded people that you and I know. And they're going to need somebody in their life that's spirit fed and spirit led. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, this is from John 11:49, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Verse 51. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. From that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. This was Caiaphas. Does anybody know who Caiaphas was? He was the jerk high priest who condemned Jesus to death. I like to call him a slime bag, you know, a dirt bag. Oh, got to go pretty. We're on the internet. He was the jerk high priest who spoke against Jesus and was part of the mechanism that condemned him to death. And yet the Bible tells us that in this instance, he was prophesying. Do you suppose that if a prophetical something could work on a turkey like that, that a prophetical anointing could work on you? Quit beating, ladies and gentlemen. Quit beating yourself up. He's put a word in your mouth. He's put a word in your spirit. And you tried to qualify it. Listen, God anoints those that he qualifies, and he qualifies who he calls. You don't have to spend your time doing that. If he would use worldly people, if he would put a prophetical anointing on assassins, what would he do with a tongue talking, Jesus name baptized child of God who's trying to be sensitive to him? Would you lift your hearts together with me? Oh my, hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's not complicated. It's simple. His presence will touch you. You have a little something in your heart, and you can go one of two ways. Think it's just you, or know that God's up to something. When Eldad and Medad was prophesying in the camp, and a bunch of people came to Moses and said, Moses, would you get out here and tell them to quit doing that? And what did Moses say? Do you remember what he said? Would to God that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would to God that they were all prophesying. Don't ask me to shut somebody down that doesn't have your blue blood, you know, qualification or title. Don't ask me to shut somebody down that's being used of the Lord. Would to God that all the children of the Lord were prophesying. And Paul comes in 1 Corinthians 14 and says, covet to prophesy. What does that mean? Covet to speak inspired speech. And it'll just, you know, it's so gentle. You'll think it's just you. So, why did we read this verse? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Here it is again. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, capital S. No condemnation. Here's why I read that verse and then verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Because what I felt God wanted me to communicate to you is what I think we would realize if we really thought it through, that many of us live under condemnation, and that's why our faith isn't working. And we kick ourselves all the way to Tallahassee, and Tallahassee doesn't even want us. because they just put the value on us that we put on us, and we put our value very low, and everybody else does. It's time for you to start valuing yourself. You have great value in the sight of God. There is a great touch of God on you. Your best days are just ahead. There are promises on you. There are prophecies on you, and it's time for you to get up and go to war with them. Woo! Come on, the hand of God is on this church. God wants to use this congregation in a powerful way. He wants to put a prophetic anointing on each one of us and use us. Simple, stupid, simple, wretched condemnation wrecks our confidence that we can even hear the voice of God. He's on you right now. He's giving you a word for somebody right now. That's not in my notes. How do you know? I don't know. I just feel that. So, I'm going to share with you a few things that helped me. And you might have better things. I mean, you better steps. That's awesome. Next time, I'd be glad to let you teach part two and help me out. Praise God. So here's some of the things that helped me that might help you. Number one, okay, so you're getting up in the morning. You're having your prayer time. And you want God to use you that day. Freshly repent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just, hey, did you notice Brother Marshall said the Holy Ghost told him to lead congregations in repentance? That we're seeing this. Jason Razor did the same thing. We're seeing evangelists come in, and evidently the Holy Ghost has been talking to them. Lead the congregations, lead the churches in repentance. And you know why? Because that's one of the biggest things we need in our churches, is to rediscover that repentance is not an event, it's a lifestyle. And when we have a repentant heart, God can use us when we stay low. You know, there's an old proverb that says, flying hurts least those who fly low. You know, if we learn how to practice this, we can stay in a place where it's easy for God to talk to us. But don't complicate it, because it's not complicated. You have right now, I believe, there is a prophetic anointing in this house. I believe it's on me, and I believe it's on you. And God has put words in your heart for somebody. And I want to loose you and let you go into your world tonight and tomorrow and speak the quicken word that God wants to give to them through you. And if he could use assassins hired by a ridiculous king, he can use you. Freshly repent. Number two, this is something I like to do. I plead the blood over my mind. When I'm wanting to hear a word from God, I plead the blood over my mind. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What's that word of their testimony business? I believe it's what they're testifying about what the blood does. And too many of us live day after day and we don't claim. I mentioned this just briefly Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we are losing the ability to claim things from God. I don't hear anybody talking like that in my church. That's like a bird losing the ability to fly. That's like a whale losing the ability to swim. I want to challenge you. He's got things he wants to do for you this year that blow your mind. He's waiting for you to get up and go to war. You know what? I sat and on my iPad, YouTube, I brought up Muhammad Ali having an interview with David Dave, let's see, what was it, the old show guy, Dick Cavett, is that what his name? The guy that used to have a talk show? Now, it was when you were just a child. Dick Cavett. Watch this. He'd just been beat by Spinks, right? So Cavett says, well, you know, this is the third time you've been beaten, you know. So he'd lost the heavyweight championship twice, right? You're listening to this guy. Muhammad Ali, yes, it was a bad decision, you know, about maybe religion and things like that. You and I would, but there were some other things he did right. You know what we have trouble doing? Person makes one mistake, and then we just assign them that mistake and know them by that one mistake the rest of their life, and we don't recognize all the good things that they did. My. So he's talking with Muhammad Ali, and Ali is already planning his comeback, and he's saying stuff like, you know, there's been nobody that's come back and won the heavyweight title three times. I'm going to do that. I'm going to come back and win it the third time. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know history, he did come back and win, the only heavyweight contender of all time who came back after losing the heavyweight championship, boxing championship. He came back and won it the third time. Why? Because he thought he could, and he thought he should, and he thought he would. Woo! Praise God. He was planning it. Man, I plead the blood over my mind. Number three, I bind the voice of Satan and the voice of my flesh. I when I want to hear from God, I plead the blood over my mind. I say, I bind the voice of the enemy. I bind the voice of my flesh. I bind the enemy and the voices from somewhere else, dark. I bind them in Jesus' name. Watch this. Number four, I pray and worship. Hallelujah. And pay attention to the thoughts that come to me. Oh. I pray and I worship and I pay attention to the thoughts that come to me. Right? Can you follow that? And number five, I pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Holy Ghost. How many of you, when you give yourself to it, can pray in the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. All right, if you're a little bit, if that's rough or that's a challenge, let us know and we'll help you with that. It just takes a little bit of faith. If you believe you can, you can. Praise God. But you can break into, I didn't have that. I didn't have that manifestation of the Spirit on a regular basis like that when I first came into the church. Somebody had to teach me how to believe God for that flow, okay? You can believe God for a flow in your life and claim that flow, come into it, claim it, and becomes a regular part of your life. But years ago, I didn't have it. Now I got it. Oh, praise the Lord. God be praised. I want to get in the river. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Whew. Which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's from John 7, verses 37 through 39. In the great day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, I'm thirsty. So, watch this now. Jude verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray, worship him, praise him. And number five is pray in the Spirit. This is so exciting. Hey, don't complicate it. Speaking in tongues isn't complicated. Praying in the Spirit's not complicated. It really isn't complicated. And hearing God is not complicated. You've been hearing him. You just didn't think it was him. He was such a gentleman. He just tapped. Remember Edgar Allan Poe? Who is that tapping on my window? Quoth the raven, nevermore. We make this so complicated. And it's so simple. Watch this. Pay attention to what you're thinking when you're praying in the Spirit. Because 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" And then it stops and it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." So when you're speaking in the utterance of the Spirit, it is the Spirit giving us utterance, giving us words to say, thoughts, whatever. We don't know what it is. Been understood through the years in many different languages that I do not know. Okay, you have, I'm sure, the same experience. But when you're praying in the Spirit, it's the Holy Ghost operating in you. You're working with the Holy Ghost. Pay attention to what you're thinking, because often God will drop an anointed thought on you when you're praying in the Spirit. Now, guess what? I had a Billy Cole experience. Billy Cole was scary, but powerful. I don't know how I even did this. I came through the mountains of West Virginia and called him up and went out and had breakfast with him. When I was only 20-some years old. He was a pastor that pastored not far from me. But now he came to preach our camp meetings different times. And so this one particular time, young man in my 20s, I was trying to figure out the will of God for my life, you know, and I was wrestling with this one particular decision. And so I was talking to Uncle Billy about it. And this is what he basically told me to do. This is about 30 years ago, 40 years ago. He said, "Pray in the Spirit and then get quiet and listen." You're making it too complicated. He didn't go, "Okay, now I've got 15 points. Okay. And so the first point, I mean, it's two things. It's two things he said to me. Do you think he might know how to hear the voice of God? This guy, nobody in the world could do on his level. I mean, he wasn't there. He climbed into that level. I remember when he was trying to break 100, like get 100 through to the Holy Ghost in a service. I remember when that was his goal. And he got that and he went from there on. You know, you have to graduate second grade before you go to third grade. Many of us, we're flunking out on the lower grades. You can't figure out why God ain't giving us a collegiate diploma, you know. But you got to pass those lower grades. If he promotes this too fast, and I've been around. I've been around some people that rose too fast, and then they wrecked because they got full of themselves. They became the eternal selfie. I know one guy that brought 30-some people into his church, and then nobody could tell him anything. See? Falling hurts least. Not flying, but falling. Falling hurts least those who fly low. Falling hurts least those who fly low. Don't make it complicated. So I challenge you. So those are just a few things that I do that seem to work for me. I can tell you one more, but it's a secret one. Probably nobody here that wants to hear it, so I'll move along. Unless somebody throws up their hands real fast. I set you up. God bless you. I think my awesome ministerial staff might have heard me share this, but I claim an anointing. Especially if I'm coming into a place where I'm going to minister, or I say those words. Because now I got to do all these other things and get rid of it. I don't just start off with that. I got to do my homework and do these other things, and then I get to a certain point and I claim your anointing, Lord. I claim your anointing. I claim your anointing. I thank you for your anointing. Smith Wigglesworth, this amazing man that was used in signs and wonders for years and years, decades, this amazing plumber from Bristol, England, this is what he said. And it's going to sound kind of bold, but he said, "If the Holy Ghost doesn't move me, I move the Holy Ghost." I know of a pastor, man of God, my wife and I know them, love them, great people, had a Christian school, and some money, if I remember right, I believe it was $25, disappeared. In those days, $25 was quite a bit of money. But anyway, that was irrelevant, you know. He prayed about it, he tried to be sensitive to God, and it was a student that he was dealing with that, I don't know if he just felt impressed to talk to them, I think he did. And one God apostolic pastor, and if I said his name, some of you would say, "Oh, I think I've heard his name." And so this kid is saying, no, 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 I didn't steal that money. And the Spirit of God says to the pastor, check inside his tie. Anybody got a tie? Anybody got a tie? Blessed be the tie that binds. I should have asked this on a Sunday. Who's got a tie?
Brother Rick.
Brother Rick, come up here, Brother Rick. Real quick. Isn't it good to have Brother Rick back? Oh, I'm telling you, I miss him one. This kid is just swearing up and down. He didn't do it. And the spirit and the pastor heard the Spirit of God say, check his tie. And he turned it over and he reached up, sure enough, pulled down $25 inside his tie. We keep him up here all night long, and if the Lord would bless it, you know, we all could be blessed before we go and pay our groceries and so on. You say, well, do you think now that child was embarrassed initially? You know, sometimes the initial thing that happens when God deals with is we're embarrassed, but he's never going to forget that on a certain day when he didn't deserve it, the Holy Ghost showed him how real he is. Freddie Clark, who moves in signs and wonders, we used to bring him to our church to preach. And I'm told that he was in a Trinitarian Pentecostal type church preaching years ago. And he's sensitive to God. When I would sit in a restaurant with him, this is so cool. This waitress would walk by and he'd go, can you tell me what's wrong with her? And I'm sitting there like, I don't have a clue in Wonderland what's wrong with her. She looks like a nice waitress to me. And he'd go, she's got a serious problem in her feet. I'd see him at General Conference and he'd come through the crowd and look me up and he'd go, oh, Brother Meadows, I've been working in the Spirit. You know, I've been praying for people. He said, you got to keep working at this to stay sharp. See, he was doing what you don't do, what I don't do. We're not careful. We don't work in this because we don't think we're qualified. Just the Freddie Clarks, you know. Just the David Bernards, just... And all these are great people. But I'm just telling you, it's for us too. So he's in this church and he's working in the Spirit, Sister Zaya. And he felt, he discerned that there were some of those people that thought he was a fraud. So he stopped. He called a man up. He said, I'm going to tell you the brand of cigarette in your pocket, the brand of cigarettes. And then I'm going to tell you how many cigarettes are in the packet. And all of a sudden, he had everybody's attention because he named the cigarette brand and the number of cigarettes in the pack, and the guy blanched and went white as a sheet. And he did it with 10 different men. And when he sat them down, you could tell they needed a little deliverance in that church, right? Praise God. He sat them down. Guess who was all ears all the rest of the service? He just demonstrated the Holy Ghost. But he worked at it constantly to be that sharp. He had my wife stand in this meeting. And she stood up and he named 5 different physical problems, right down to the heart murmur that even she had forgotten. Is that true? I got to be careful when I ask her these days because she might not remember it the same way that I do. And I want to make sure I get it right. Praise God, she helps me. And I help her sometimes too. Praise God. And it blew her mind because she'd forgotten about the heart murmur part. He picked it up. He prayed over one of my young people. God's going to give you favor where you work with the. He's going to give you favor where you work with the waitresses. He worked at Big Boy, Mark's Big Boy restaurant. His name was Tony. What are you saying? I'm saying this isn't just for great evangelists. You've got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. If God would put a prophetical anointing on a pack of assassins that were going to kill the future king of Israel, what would he do for you? If God would use a nutcase like Caiaphas to prophesy, who condemned Jesus to the cross, what would he do with you and me? There's therefore now no condemnation. That's why that's in that same chapter. Before he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, he said, there's no condemnation. Lift your heart with me. Hallelujah. Our musician comes, praise God. Just taking a little bit of a respite here, a little bit of a place where we can say, oh Lord, we are open, we are open, we are open. We are open, Lord. Forgive me, God. God, forgive me for complicating it. Forgive me, God, for complicating it. Forgive me, God, for complicating it. Hallelujah. There's somebody that he's talked to you about witnessing to. You don't need an angel from heaven, although God could give you one. It's so genteel and gentle, like soft rain falling on your mind, like gentle rain falling on your thought life. These little steps of earnestness and sincerity. Brother Aaron, you ministered to my wife and you were so afraid that you'd over... And we went home and we're talking about it and so blessed because you were sensitive to God and ministered to the First Lady. And not only was accurate, but also did it in such a gracious way. So beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, if I can I do this before we pray? How many of you think that maybe I'm on to something? Great pastor I preached for years ago. Strong holiness pastor. Strong man of God. Great church. He felt impressed. I don't know where he met this gentleman, but he felt impressed to make a phone call to a Delta Airlines pilot named Ron Knott. Well, I became friends with Ron Knott. Because that pastor made that phone call, Ron Knott came into this apostolic way. And he started dating her roommate. And she waited for our blessing to be spoken before she would give her heart to Ron. And he came in his, what was it, Mercedes, with his beautiful black leather coat. And I think he even had leather gloves. And his, you know, his just this classy, he looked like a CEO. He loved God and was walking in the truth because an apostolic pastor felt impressed to make a phone call. Do you know that Ron Knott brought in over 100 people? Oh, God, I worship you. Wrote a book on soul winning and brought over 100 people into the church because a pastor was sensitive to God when God anointed or blessed him with an impression or a sense that he should call him and get him on the phone and begin to help him and teach him and mentor him. Would you worship the Lord? Don't make it complicated. Thank you, God. Don't make it complicated. It's real and it's already working. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The scripture says that Samson and the Spirit of God began to move him at times. And the Spirit of God began to move him at times. He's been moving on you, not just here in church. He's been moving on you in your car. He's been moving on you. I was having a Sunday morning prayer meeting early in the morning weeks ago when I was praying about my family. And the Spirit of God filled the car. The manifest presence of God filled the car. And this is one of the reasons why we now have a family headed this direction by the grace of God and the blessing of their pastor. because I made some phone calls. And I tried to follow up on what I felt happened in that car that day, because God's presence hung in the car for somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes, just hung in the car when I asked God a question, and his answer was to flood the car with his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Would you lift those hands to God, those hearts to God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.